distinction between Mary and Martha, who one was sitting at Jesus' feet, the other was bustling about their many tasks. Jesus said the better part was the one who was sitting at her feet, who is enjoying this contemplative moment. We continue this week with Jesus himself being in a place, a certain place where he was praying. And his disciples came to him and said, "Teach us to pray." Just like John taught his disciples, "Teach us to pray." And he did a couple of things. One, he gave them a form of prayer, the Lord's Prayer, at least a version of it. This was the redacted one, the Reader's Digest version of the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew, we give a fuller sense than we use in our liturgies. But none of the same things are there. He also tells the story of supposing your home, you had an unexpected guest around midnight, and you needed some bread to go to bother a friend. Ask a friend for a favor, some help. And a perfect example of Christian charity, a friend says, "Go." But giving your persistence, the friend does come through the bread. He's saying that a good prayer life should be persistent, just like this. And then he goes on to describe what it's like giving children the things that they ask for. Asking for the fish. The child asks for the third popsicle in the last 30 minutes, our Lord is actually silent. But the lesson there is that God gives good things. God blesses us. And so, we should not be afraid to ask. And a good prayer life has these elements of being grounded, of being persistent, and being hopeful. So hopeful for the good things that God will. So what does it mean to be grounded? When the disciples came to Jesus and asked him to teach us how to pray, he gave them a formal prayer. He did this in the Gospel of Matthew 2. He gave them the Lord's Prayer. He says, "So teach us to pray." So then he prayed, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Now when I look at this, and definitely this is the Lord's Prayer, something every single liturgy has, it is right there. Front and center, it's kind of the moment where everybody joins in. So we join in on a lot of things, but everybody really knows the Lord's Prayer. Don't we say it so often? It's so foundational. And it also, in some senses, brings me back to my past. When I was an older teenager in the evangelical churches, we didn't seem to care for so much of the formal prayers. And so people liked to pray extemporaneously. Whatever was on their heart and mind. And sometimes I had this curious prayer to Father Regis. Don't know that one? Father Regis prayed that. But really the idea there was to want people to feel what they were praying. But over time, I come to find that these formal prayers that we have, guided by the traditions of the church, guided by scripture, guided by some very smart people who compose them and arrange them for our use, not least the Lord's Prayer, is that there's something there that draws us beyond ourselves. There's something there that doesn't depend on our momentary feelings and guides us into praying things that maybe if it was just our feelings, we wouldn't be praying for. And can you imagine for a moment what it could be like to maybe be a bit irritated with a neighbor or somebody else in your life, and then you're praying the Lord's Prayer, saying, "And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Something there that draws us beyond ourselves. And if I were to rely on just my feelings, I might be tempted to skip over that part. Human frailty, what can I say? But saying our traditional prayers grounds us, challenges us, because it's already there. It is there, and it draws us beyond ourselves. And so we will pray things like, "Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." next gift that Jesus gives us is a lesson on praying, and that prayer should be persistent. He says, keep at it, again and again. Don't give up, but continue in that prayer. And he taught us this through the story that he told, saying, now imagine if you were home and a friend of yours showed up at midnight and you had no food in the house. Apparently tomorrow was grocery day, so you didn't have food in the house. So you go to your friend at midnight, knock on the door. Can you loan me a few loaves of bread because somebody just arrived and I don't have anything? And the friend says, go away. My children are with me in bed. Door's already locked. We've already been through our nightly rituals. I don't want to have to give them another drink of water. I don't want them to brush their teeth again. I just got them to sleep. And there's always that adage also of like, why are you waiting till the last minute for this? But in those days, such a thing conceivably happened. But they didn't have cell phones. They couldn't text you and say, I'm on my way, but I'm running a bit late. They didn't even have much in the way of hotels. So when people were traveling, they had to depend on the hospitality of friends and families. So that when nightfall came, it was time to go to sleep, they had some place to stay. And one thing that I do know, thinking about this passage, is when someone knocks on your door, you tend to pay attention. It might be easy to ignore once, but more than that, we get up, don't we? I know in my house, when the neighborhood kids are coming by to ask my son to play, sometimes they'll knock once. Sunday afternoon, I'm taking a nap. Then they'll ring the doorbell. Then they'll knock again. Maybe they'll knock the third time. Finally, I get up. Yes. Did Joshua come out and play? They're knocking. I'm opening the door, whether I want to or not. Jesus is saying in the life of prayers, don't be afraid to be like that. You're not going to annoy God. You're not going to get on God's nerves. You're not going to be a pest. And if you are, go ahead and be a pest anyways, but keep praying. Keep asking for the good things that God is giving to this world. Keep asking that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Keep praying that God's kingdom come. And don't be afraid of doing this. Because just like going to a friend at midnight, even though they may not want to get out of their bed, if you keep knocking, they're going to come. And social niceties, they're going to help out as much as they can. Jesus is saying prayer life should be that persistent. So find a time every day to pray. Spend some time. And when you pray, have no fear being hopeful. Being hopeful in those prayers. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come. That's a great thing. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wow, that sounds great. Those are the things we are asking for. Jesus draws a solution by talking about giving food to a child. He says, which of you, when your child asks for a fish, will give them a snake instead? Go ahead and do that. If your child asks for food, I'm hungry. Let me see what I can find for you. Provided it's not 10 minutes until dinner time, and the answer is wait just a little bit. Or he says, which of you, when your child asks for an egg, would give a scorpion instead? If your child is asking for that third possible answer, they very well might be no, if that's what the possible is understood for, that's fish or egg. And then she said this kind of curious phrase that always catches my attention, saying, you know, so you, even though you're evil, know how to give good things to your children. Whoa, wait a minute here. I'm not evil. Am I? Hope not. But he's drawing from the tradition at the time. In fact, even found his way into our popular culture. Talking about how within human beings, there's always the evil impulse. And you see it in cartoons where they have somebody who's like ready to make a decision about something, attentive to something, so should die or shouldn't die. Then a little devil appears on one shoulder saying, yeah, go ahead. And then on the other is another shoulder, an angel pops up and says, I know you're not supposed to do this. It's a nice way of illustrating those that kind of decision making and impulses that we have. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, there's always that case of should I or shouldn't I. And what Jesus was saying is that God has no evil impulse because all God is goodness. And he's saying, so even you who have both, you know when a child comes to you and asks you for something that is good and healthy and that they need, you give it to them. And he's saying, how much more so will God give? And she talks about the Holy Spirit. How much more so God, who is just good, just pure goodness, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. So we might ask ourselves, what are the good things that we want to see in this world? When we think about thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, what might that look like? When we talk about thy will be done, what might that entail? Now we can ask ourselves, is God's will that there are people starving in this world that don't have enough to eat, don't know? Is it God's will that our churches are emptier than they really should be? No. Is it God's will that people lack fundamental respect for one another these days? No, none of those are God's will. So we can pray about these things. Pray with the persistence of the person showing up at midnight saying, hey, let me some bread. Come on, let me some bread. Come on, let me some bread. Pray again and again. Be persistent. Seeking out the good things, the things that we hope for. The things like, every person is dead. All you have to do is turn them around. Pray for that God gather all people to himself. Worship, fellowship, love God, love people. And pray that human race will learn how to treat one another with dignity and respect. Those are all good things. Those are wonderful things. How can God refuse? So we pray for these good things. We pray persistently. We pray grounded in scriptures and church tradition. With some very reasonable people have determined. We pray for these things. We have a prayer life that is grounded, a prayer life that is persistent, and a prayer life that is hopeful. Jesus gives us this great gift of prayer, the kind of prayer that really can change lives, change the world. This is the gift that Jesus offers, because this is what a good prayer life is.